Hey folks, this is Ken, and before we get started, I want to let you in on some exciting news. So on Sunday, May 22nd at 12 p.m., HGTV is going to be airing the pilot episode of Flipping the South, starring my wife and myself. Again, that's on HGTV, May 22nd at 12 p.m. Set your DVRs and tune in. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to the Deal Farm Podcast with Ken Corsini. Educating, inspiring, and connecting you to real estate deals. And now, your host, Ken Corsini.
Hey, this is Ken Corsini with The Deal Farm. On today's Best Deal Ever episode, I've got Leah Kraft Christine. She's also known as the Quantum Queen because she promotes focusing on taking quantum leaps in business, in life, and in real estate investing. She's made some pretty awesome quantum leaps herself, actually. She's been on PBS and CNN. She became a head writer on a television show in Hollywood, and now she teaches real estate investing. She's a former practicing attorney who's written 9 books. She gives seminars around the world, and she's even been on the Oprah Winfrey Show with her book, 30 Days to Happiness. Leah, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Ken.
So you have, you've been in real estate for a while. In fact, you travel around the country. You've spoken, I think, at 500 different cities on real estate. I'm just curious, how did you, you've got a really interesting past. You've done a lot of interesting things. How did you find your way into real estate?
Well, if we're talking about rehab, it all started when my father said to me, "You know, you have no brothers. I want you to come with me today up on top of the roof. We're going to do some shingles." So, you know, it started very early.
Wow. Yeah. Baptism by fire, putting on a roof.
I was probably 12, but I watched my father build as something that he loved to do, because he was actually a judge, and he would learn how to do these things. We'd watch him, and sometimes he would involve us and sometimes he wouldn't. But my first real entrance into real estate investing happened on the north side of Atlanta, when I had just moved into a house 2 months prior to that. And my next door neighbor came over to me when I was standing in my driveway one day, and she said, "How would you like to buy my house?" And I said, let me get this straight. I just moved in. What in the world makes you think I could buy your house?" And she said, "Well, here's the thing. We really don't have any equity built up. I wouldn't ask you to put any money in it at all. We would just like you to take over our mortgage, because we have already bought another house up in North Georgia where my husband has been transferred, and we are simply trying to get out of this because we can't even hire a real estate agent. We don't want to spend the 3% or 6% or whatever it's going to take. Is there any way that you would do this and maybe rent it out as a rental house?" I thought about it. It didn't take me long. Overnight, I realized this is a perfect deal. Mm-hmm. And I found out, of course, what the balance was in her mortgage. She had paid less for her house by at least $10,000 than I had paid for mine. And I also, as things will have it, what I certainly believe is that when you make a commitment to do something, very often all the universal forces step in and help you. Because that very morning when I said to her, I'm going to do this, put me in touch with your mortgage company," I got a call from a friend of mine who was living in Midtown, and he said, "Oh no, the people I'm renting my house from are coming back from the Middle East and they want their house back." And I said, "So you're looking for a rental house?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, how does," and I can't remember what the figure was, but I named a figure, and he said, "I haven't built up anything. I haven't for a couple months down payment or deposit." And I said, "Well, that's okay." I knew nothing about being a landlord, but he was a friend. And the day that I signed on it was the day he moved in and started renting. And then all I did to that house was, between the two of us, my friend and I, because he was paying a lower rent than he knew he would normally pay, the two of us built a deck, a 12 by 14 foot deck on the back with a privacy lattice, and I put it up for sale. And 6 months after I bought it, I sold it for, I made a profit of, it was something like $9,000. But you know, $9,000 back then was a good chunk of change, and especially for doing something fun where I was out absolutely no money except the lumber, which probably amounted to $75 at that time.
Talk about a deal just dropping in your lap. That's crazy. Great way to start.
Yeah, it's a great way to start. And then when people say, subject to, I don't get subject to. And all I have to do is tell them this little story. Subject to the existing mortgage. That means you take over their mortgage. Sometimes they want money with it. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
So what a great, perfect way. When people say, you can't buy property for no money down. I say, okay, listen to this.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. One of the girls that works for me just this week, same exact scenario, found a couple that was in need to move, and they just wanted somebody to take over the payments. And it, I mean, yes. Perfect for her to step right in, take over somebody else, basically borrow their credit and
exactly.
Step right into their situation. And I mean, very little money down. I mean, a lot of times It's so much easier and cheaper than working with a bank and running your credit.
It is. Yes, it's fantastic. You just make sure that they don't have an accelerated rate mortgage. You just make sure they don't, you know, you look at all those things from their mortgage company, so you are protected, and then have a game plan. But it is so simple. Lucky her that happened and dropped into her lap. That's beautiful.
Yep. So that was your first taste with real estate, obviously a great one, and you were hooked. What did you do from there? How did you start spending more time and resources in real estate?
Well, actually, I kind of got sidetracked a little bit. I ended up starting to build houses, and I lived in one of them. So I have built houses from the ground up, and I have filmed those houses, and I've filmed them for women's empowerment purposes, because what I want to prove to women is you don't have to live in an apartment or a rental house forever. Worst case scenario, you learn how to build your own house. And now that the tiny house movement is coming to fruition, I am part of that. I'm just so excited about it. I have filmed myself hanging from the ceiling, putting up HVAC. And for everybody who doesn't know what that means, great big silver worms that deliver cold air and warm air.
That's right. And you can't live without them in Georgia, put it that way.
Right. Uh-huh. So I have images of me doing HVAC and installing the dishwasher, and I did all the plumbing, all the electrical, and got to work with the county where the property is located, and the inspectors would look at what I've done and say, "This is so by the book." And I said, "Well, doesn't it have to be?" And they said, "Well, most people don't." So it was really an eye opener to work with the inspectors for the county and find out exactly how that goes. And it's a wonderful base for being a really good rehabber, because when I rehab houses, I am not afraid. If I have a feeling that there's a leak behind the wall, I have no problem with taking out that sheetrock in about 2 seconds and doing the inspection myself. I'm never going to turn over a house to somebody that I have any qualms about, that I am worried that something's going to cave in or fall in or leak the next second. Mm-hmm. So it's, I believe in delivering a quality product to people. But what I really love is rehabbing. Well, of course, in this economy we've been in the last 6 years, there's no point in, there hasn't been any good reason to build from scratch. So rehabbing is certainly the way to go in residential.
Sure.
But I've traveled around, and I've done properties all over the Southeast, and it's been a real eye opener. And I just highly recommend, anytime you go somewhere new, find out about all the funguses that can exist that have to do with housing.
You know, every location, every geography has its challenges, and in the South for sure, boy, we've got our share of mold. That's for darn sure.
So yes, we've come across many things that were not pleasant surprises. And in one house, I'm not going to say where it was, I had three guys under the house in hazmat suits. Why? Because one of them ended up going to the hospital the couple days before that, because the fungus, whatever the heck it was so nasty.
Oh geez, scary.
Yes.
So yeah. You've seen it all. You've done a lot of rehabbing, but you also teach on real estate investing. Is that right? I know you've got coaching clients around the world. What is your primary topic of coaching and teaching?
Well, I certainly talk about the skill set of identifying the right house, about everything that needs to be done in rehabbing it. Of course, those things. I certainly talk about the financials. And because, as you know, Ken, I am a former practicing attorney, and I hate to say pay it. But the thing that I loved about law was tax. So one of the things that I do when I talk with clients is make sure you've got the right setup for your organization, your business. Do not be a sole proprietor. You want to pay double taxes? Go right ahead. But there, you know, when I help people, it spans the whole gamut from your business setup, your taxes, your bookkeeping, to how to do things. But as you know, my number one concern, my number one issue is what is going on in your head? What is your mindset? Where are you living? Because as we talked about, many people have spent a lot of money on real estate education, and there's nothing wrong with that. I often say, look, there's kids can come out of college with a college degree for $100,000 and up that they still owe on that college degree. And what do they have a major in? Sociology. What can they do? They can be a clerk in some retail store.
Right.
But with real estate education, you can actually pay yourself back with just one deal. And that's like buying a whole business. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with having spent money on real estate education. My issue with that is meeting so many people who aren't using that education. Mm-hmm. And so what I teach more than anything, I have a program called Quantum Leap Your Real Estate Investing, which comes from a program I have that's called Quantum Leap Your Life. And it's all about getting your game plan in order, getting your mental, emotional self in order, trusting your gut, learning what your instincts are all about, but making sure that you are leaping out of bed in the morning, can't wait to get at it and start your day and have fun doing what you're doing. And it takes sometimes a training. We aren't all born that way. And for that reason, I wrote a book a long time ago called 30 Days to Happiness, which became a bestseller. And it took me to the Oprah Winfrey Show, and it started me speaking all over the world. And I still get letters from all over the world about that book. Because we all need reminders, even if we were born happy, we all need reminders of what to do with present circumstances. Mm-hmm. Because any present circumstance, finding out your girlfriend is cheating, having someone who is buying a property from you do bankruptcy, that just happened to me. We all need to have reminders of how to get back on the horse should we get temporarily knocked off, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so, you know, these skills, these emotional, mental skills are an ongoing usage and process and a reiteration. It wouldn't hurt anybody to keep going through these many skills every day of the month. We should go back to it and say, oh, yeah, I forgot that one and I really need it today. And it helps us to deal with stress. It helps us to react in ways that we should react. But mainly in real estate, it helps new real estate investors to get started. Mm. And that I find is the biggest issue. I do real estate coaching, of course, and I do group real estate coaching, generally by telephone. I work with people, and then very often there will be someone I work with one-on-one, and either I will work with them near a location where I am, or I will fly to them and I will go out and look at properties with them to help them find that first property. Because sometimes that is needed to get your first grasp of how to plunge in. And after that, you should basically know how to make that happen. But getting that first property is a matter of, I could say it in so many words, chutzpah, daring, bravado. You have to jump in sometimes like the first time you jumped off the high dive. And in my case, my sister pushed me off. So I...
Sounds like my kids.
Yeah. Sometimes it has to happen that way. But it really... By the time it does and you have someone saying, okay, this is how you know that the property is situated well, and this is how you know whether it's the right property. This is what you're looking for when you're looking at it. This is what needs to be fixed. This is how the contract works. This is how you make an offer. This is how you make a counteroffer. This is how you look at the contract and what you're looking for. I believe truly, Ken, if you're not born with a legal spoon in your mouth, you need to have somebody showing you the ropes. I really do.
Absolutely.
Because even with a legal degree, I'll tell you, even with my law degree, I have had instances where sometimes I have gotten kind of tired. I had a situation not too long ago where I was so tired. I had to finish up the details on the house, and it was at a distance, and I had a small child with me, and I had planned to have a U-Haul brought over that day so everything could be loaded up and brought back to the neighboring state where I live. I live near Atlanta. And all of those details I was taking care of, plus the final details on several different things. I mean, window latches and grout and making the final adjustments on everything. And I had a call. It was the day before it was going to go on the MLS. I had a call from someone who had seen, I put it on Craigslist before I put it on the MLS. Hmm. Got a call and these people said, we want to come over and see your house tomorrow. I said, you know what? You can't see it until 5 o'clock because we're loading up things and the garage is going to be full of things that are going to be loaded up. Oh no, we can't. We have to see it in the morning. My husband ships out. I've got to see it. So I agreed to let them come over and see the house at 10 o'clock. By 11:30, I had a contract.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, and so, unfortunately, I was not in my right mind at that time and did not take a really close look at the timeline because I was listening to what the agent was telling me instead of double-checking her and reading the contract every line, and it was a new, different kind of contract, a different state. It was also a contract that was relating to a VA loan, and the time element was on the sixth page.
Oh, no.
And I told her it was calendar days due diligence, and of course, as you know what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. It was business days on the sixth page, and I was watching my young daughter. I was running around. I was doing other things. I frankly did not read every word of that contract. And so I got in a pinch with it, a couple of other things too. So I am just saying everybody needs to have clarity and have one other person, if you can, to second check you on any contract. You reach a point where you don't need that, of course, but if you are tired, if you are overly stressed, if you are have your attention drawn in several different places, you really do need to have someone else double checking you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I think you touch on something in your coaching and your material that's so relevant to so many business owners in regards to having the right mindset as well as emotional intelligence. You know, that's something I've heard in counseling realms, but you never hear it in the business world. Maybe speak to what that means for business owners to have emotional intelligence.
Well, emotional intelligence is a skill set that allows you to pay attention to how you are thinking and feeling. Both of those things result in your attitude. Are you expecting something good to come from this or expecting something bad? And to be able to keep your intelligence, your skill set intact while you're doing that, you can expect the best while still reading every line of a contract. But sometimes we find ourselves overreacting to the negative, and then we get caught up in being ticked off at something. Meanwhile, we have missed either an opportunity or we have missed seeing something else we're going to stub our toe on. When we get emotionally out of kilter, we do not use our IQ, our intellectual ability, to its full capacity. This has been proven again and again and again by Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Every major university has done studies on this, and the answer, the bottom line is, your emotional intelligence, your attitude, your ability to jump out of bed in the morning, your ability to feel that you can find a solution for something that's wrong, your ability to let go of an issue that is making you angry, All of those are skills that relate to doing well in business. And a case in point, and your expectations. And I had just talked with you about this, but I really think this story is worth telling. I have had a property that I kind of overpaid for because I thought it was a good deal at the time, but I had no idea the recession would go so deep. And I overpaid for a beautiful house, a 4-3 house. And it was beautiful, but I was intending to flip it. Mm-hmm. And suddenly, everything got scary for everyone. People were losing their jobs. Everything around me was now worth $30,000 less than I had just paid for this house. And I had just done the rehab on it. The only thing I could do was do a lease purchase. And that was my intent, was to sell it to that next person who was in there. Well, that fell through after a year and a half. I got another renter in on another lease purchase. I wanted them to keep up the house nicely, to feel like it was their own. That one fell through. Another one came in, another lease purchase. That person ended up being a horrible tenant and owed me so much money. I took him to court twice. I was not feeling real optimistic about this house because the whole area still was lagging behind, far behind. When I first had that house appraised, it appraised for $80,000 more than what the pricing fell to later.
Oh, man.
So I wasn't real positive, Ken. I kept trying to buck myself up knowing that I teach this stuff, but I was still not feeling great. And I talked with a person in your group named Dave, right? His mm-hmm. name is Dave.
Yep.
And he had just told me about a property that you had just listed, and within a weekend, you had contracts and contracts over the asking price.
That's right.
And just hearing that, I could have said to myself, oh yeah, but that's on the north side of Atlanta. I'm not on the north side of Atlanta. I'm in an area that's been lagging behind, so that can't possibly happen for me. Instead of thinking that, I said to myself, I'm hearing this positive news for a good reason. I think the good reason is I need to buck myself up and just believe that something really good could happen with this house. So I spent the next 3 weeks, rehabbed it again, upgraded it a little farther, and I fell in love with the house again because I kept thinking, you know what? You're going to find somebody who just loves you and is going to pay a good price for you. Now, it's still $20,000 below what I was hoping it would grow to. Mm-hmm. But I had to work within current appraisals, and I was still going beyond current appraisals when I put the price tag on it. I listed it on April 31st, and by April 1st, I had several contracts on it, two of them over the asking price.
That's awesome.
And I absolutely know that Dave's positive words and information were contagious for me because I allowed them to be. Mm-hmm. Because what emotional intelligence does for you is that you allow in the good information and you take with a grain of salt the negative information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When somebody says, hey, this hard money lender is drying up, this hard money lender doesn't want to do this, you say, wait a minute, maybe I'll check that out for myself. Maybe that's not going to be true for me.
You know, it's interesting, too, because positive attitudes can be infectious, but negative attitudes can be just as infectious. And I think part of being emotionally intelligent is being aware of the people around you and in your environment, because it's very easy for even coworkers or people that work for you to have a negative attitude and bring you down with them. And so having the awareness and the skill set to say, you know what, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to remain positive in the midst of whatever challenging situation you're in.
That's exactly right. And I recommend to everyone that if you bring somebody into your business, that if they aren't already highly positive, that you ask them to take a course, to help themselves move up on that scale and even work with them. When they say something, then you stop them and say, how could you say that in a positive way? Mm. And that helps you, because every time you reinforce someone else's positivity, you reinforce your own. But I will not have people working around me that are that kind of person who could bring me down, especially if we're in a tricky time like the recession was. Mm. And so to that end, I have programs where I have employers give them to their employees and say, here, I'm gonna ask you about this, because this takes you step by step by step. I was telling you about the program that I was on Oprah Winfrey with. I've turned that into not only a program you can read, but for those people who don't want to do that, you can listen to it as an audio, and you can watch videos of me daily, one day every day for 30 days delivered to your email. You don't have to open it, but if you decide to, it'll certainly lift you up and give you one more tool to use. These are tools, and it's all a choice. And that's what all of life obviously is. And we cannot barricade ourselves away from people who are negative, but we can truly believe that our positivity is going to have a stronger effect than the negativity.
You know, in your book, you said that there's one tool that we all possess that's the most important one, both in its ability to harm us and its ability to help us. Maybe talk about that specific tool for a minute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the tool that comes free of charge, and it is called your imagination. And you know, when people use their imagination, too often they don't even realize they're using it to create in their minds scenarios where people are snarling at them, where people are rude in traffic, where you're thinking, what would I do if somebody did that? Well, I'd flip the bird. I'd do this. I'd do that. Well, hey, why don't you rehearse in your mind? It's all called mental rehearsal. Why don't you rehearse in your mind somebody saying, hey, no, you go ahead. Oh, no, you go ahead. Or going ahead and you're doing a friendly wave and they're waving back at you. I firmly believe that when you do the mental preparation of minds meeting minds and saying, we're going to plan to have a pleasant day. I want to have a pleasant day. Do you? Yes, I do. Maybe there's a few people out there that love a good fight. I know some of those people. I'm not one of them. But I know absolutely that if you can imagine what you want for your life, you are far more likely going to get to reach that height than if you say, what happens if I can't sell this house? Oh my God, what happens if I can't sell this house? Well, stop right there. What happens if you can? What would happen if you did this and somebody fell in love with it? Can you imagine somebody walking into your house and falling in love with it like that couple did on the day I was moving my tools out of that house? And they walked in and said, oh my gosh, we got to have this house. This is ours. This is ours. We don't want anybody else to have it. Those are the kind of things you need to imagine. Now, and years ago, Ken, I was at a real estate conference a long time ago, and this woman who was teaching said, all right, now at the end of this 4 days, she said, raise your hand if you would be really excited and satisfied if you could earn $250,000 in the next 12 months from your real estate investments. And a lot of people raised their hands. And she said, shame on you. Why wouldn't you have waited until I said something like $400,000 or $500,000? If you're satisfied with just $250,000, shame on you. You are not reaching far enough. And you know, a lot of people have to walk their way there. You can't sometimes. I teach making quantum leaps, but I also know that you've got to get a foothold first. Your dream has to start with something you can truly imagine and feel and taste and get it emotionally before you can have a bigger dream. But for some people, saying, I want to make $7,000 this month, that is way beyond the ordinary for them. And then maybe they need to back up a little bit and say, this month I want to make $4,000. And that they can get their arms around. That they can truly believe in before they move on from there. But believe me, Donald Trump never has a month where he says, gee, I hope I can make $7,000 this month. You know, when we're reaching far, we're going to say, hey, how can I make $70,000 in the next quarter? When you ask the right question, the answers begin forming from everything you have ever seen and heard and felt. And when you do that, you start getting your imagination involved. But imagination is more than mental pictures. It's an emotional feel. When you are imagining, truly imagining, you are placing yourself at that future point where you are saying, this is how it will feel, as if I am truly there and I have done that and I have already climbed that hill. That's what true imagining is good for, and it's what helps you make the right decisions on your way there.
That's good. Yeah, kind of building that mindset for yourself of, you know, where you want to be, and then
absolutely
staying in that positive mindset to achieve that.
Exactly. And Ken, you know, the other part of that is that sometimes a good self-image can bring you to a goal, but most of the time the goal helps the self-image to grow. And that's what I have seen repeatedly as I work with people year after year and see these amazing things happening. I not only help people to get their real estate investing careers launched, but I help them get their first book launched. I've just done that, and it's just the most exciting thing in the world to see people bring lifelong hopes and dreams to fruition. That's what I do. But having the goal has to be there first, and then, well, sometimes the self-image is pretty close. Sometimes the self-image is far away. And that self-image, here's part of the secret of success. Your self-image absolutely must grow to match the dream you have. And that might sound like an odd statement. It must match it. Meaning you, every word out of your mouth, every thought you have, almost every thought, almost every emotion needs to match the concept that you, in your imagination, have already achieved the dream you have. And so that's part of the big secret of quantum leaping. I've seen it happen again and again, and I love to work with those people that are committed to quantum leaping.
Lee, I love the fact that you start with the practical side to real estate, you know, the nuts and the bolts and the legal, the contracts, but then you lead people down a path of true success, you know, and having emotional intelligence and setting the right goals and putting yourself in the right light. I think that's fantastic. And so you've been at real estate for a number of years. You've done a lot of deals yourself. Is there one deal in particular that sticks out to you as your best deal ever?
Yes, there is. And here's another side benefit, I think, of developing emotional intelligence, developing self-image, is that as that grows, I believe your intuition grows as well. And there is a business intuition. There are plenty of books out there called Executive ESP. It is a very, very real capacity to have your gut instincts show you the way. I took a little time off from investing and traveling because I adopted a special needs child not too long ago. And because I couldn't travel and do all the things I had been doing, I had to set that aside for a little over a year. And when I finally decided, I can't stand it. I've got to get another house. I got to do it now. I'm ready for it. I don't know if this child was really ready for it yet, but I just let my instincts lead me, and I started looking on websites, and I found a house in a neighboring state in a city I had never invested in before. Now, I had spoken in that city many times, but I had never invested there and didn't even know the layout of the city. I found a property that had a swimming pool, and I had never worked with swimming pools. So it was an odd thing that I was so committed and said, this is the house. When I saw this house, I started seeing the pictures. It was just horribly ugly on the interior, and the pool was, of course, green, but it was holding water. But my instincts, I slept on it. I felt completely guided by the yes from my intuition. I bid on it until I got it. And then, of course, I did due diligence. And at that point, I went to that city, which was about 9 hours away, and did due diligence with an inspector. And I still had some questions on a skill level, but my intuition said, yes, it's a go, it's a go, it's a go. I got this house. I put probably about 40 in it, but the beauty of it was I bought it for $53,000.
Nice.
And I sold it for $152,000 before I ever listed it. That's that house.
Wow. Man, that takes some guts to bid on something sight unseen, 9 hours away, not really knowing the area. But that's amazing. You turned a great profit on that.
I did. And it definitely was my best win. I had another one in Charleston that was almost my best win until we found out the timbers under the house were disintegrating. But that's another story. That's where emotional intelligence comes in, that says, I can still win this one. I can still win it.
That's right. They're not, it's so true in real estate that there are so many challenges and so many things go sideways on projects. There's no one project that goes smoothly, perfectly every time. And, but having the skills and the tools in your tool bag to stay positive and to problem solve and to come out whole on the other end, I think it's crucial for any real estate investor.
Yes, because you need to keep going. You can't say, oh, that was so tough, I just can't do another one for another year or 6 months. You got to make it steady income.
That's right. Get back on the horse, stay at it. That's right. If people are listening and they want to learn more, maybe take a program to learn the skills and the tools that we've talked about, or read your book, where could we steer them to?
Well, I want to tell you about three things. One is about this program I told you about, that's a 30-day program. I call it Happy Tune-Up, and that's actually the website, www.happytuneup.com, and it is a 30-day program that incorporates the program I was on Oprah Winfrey with. Okay. And it is, to me, a mainstay of any business, not just real estate, any business, any person, anyone coming through a transition time. It is available, and right now it's at an incredibly reasonable, amazing price, because for the price of this program, you can't even see a therapist for 1 hour. So, you know, you compare that and you say, do I want a virtual happiness tutor with me daily for 30 days? And it's only $97, and you can pay it $37 at a time. That's for the it's for the next short period of time. So it's there at happytuneup.com. And the other thing I'd like to tell you about is the Quantum Leap Your Real Estate Investing. That program you can read about from the homepage at one of my businesses is called LifeCraft. My last name starts with a K, Craft Christine. And so this website is www.lifecraft.com. And it will tell you right there on the top of the homepage. You can click on that link and it will tell you all about that program, which is a group program. And then if you were interested working with me one-on-one, please go to my personal website, which is Leah. That's spelled a different way. It's not the normal Leah spelling. It's L-I-A-H and then put in K-K. LeahKK.com. Will take you to my website that will tell you about my coaching, and you can see some testimonials and you can contact me from there. And that is a good place where you can see kind of what's going on in all of the things that I do. But I really welcome you to check that out. If you're interested in real estate investing, I can only heartily say, get it going now. We will never see another time like we're still experiencing in our lifetimes. I heard on the radio this morning, they said a lot of people feel like we're still in recession. Well, yes, we are. There are still places you can get such great deals on properties. Mm-hmm. So go for it now. Now is the time.
Perfect. Well, folks, we'll put this in the show notes as well. The website's happytuneup.com, lifecraft.com, and leahkk.com. Again, we'll put those in the show notes. Leah, thanks so much for coming on The Deal Farm. This is fantastic.
Well, thanks, Ken. I really appreciate it. Good to meet you and get to know you.
Yeah, you as well. Take care.
Thanks.
Hey, folks, this is Ken again, just reminding you to check out the premiere of the pilot episode, Flipping the South, on HGTV, premiering Sunday, May 22nd at 12 p.m. Again, based on the success of the pilot, the number of people that watch it and DVR it, HGTV will decide whether or not to pick it up and make it a series. So we would love your support. Again, Sunday, May 22nd at noon, if you would record and watch Flipping the South on HGTV. Thanks so much for your support.